Ce Super Filmscast, 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 Super Filmscast, Super Filmscast, Super Films.
It's beautiful.
Thanks.
Now this is podcasting.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Films Cast.
Doesn't that sound nice?
It does. I know that you're all anal clean about it. Clean.
It's clean. It's for SEO purposes.
You know, you're very much into, like, finding, like, the best, you know, the best qualities and flushing all the bad qualities out, right?
Yeah, I'm really good at good at identifying the bad qualities, but I'm really bad at letting them go.
Well, you want all the bad qualities, like, eradicated from society, right?
Yeah, I wish there was a way
right.
Scientifically to do that.
Yeah, that would be that'd be important to for you, right?
Eugenically,
right?
I don't think we need to put a name to it.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
I did like to eradicate the 64. The reason behind it is just because it is now technically, like, it's a very different podcast from the original. Like, I've listened to a couple episodes.
Adam and I, we had very intelligent conversations about film and the film industry.
Ice cream, so good.
Like, we have the ice cream so good version of the Films Cast.
We were trying to. I know you were trying to reach a younger demographic.
Uh huh.
When Adam left, so that's why you recruited me and your little blood boy here.
I recruited a 26-year-old and a 28-year-old.
I'm 27.
27.
I'm now 26. I was 25. I was 25 3 weeks ago.
Wait. Has he maxed out on blood boy age?
Oh, blood boy's like 22, 23. Over 25 now.
Shh. What if I did that?
What is that supposed to be?
I don't worry about it.
That was weird.
I don't even want to know.
The blood boy thing from the...
I don't think you know what a blood boy is.
Well, I know one version, but I think it's a different version than
yours. What are you thinking?
I'm referring to... Maybe they're not even called blood boys. They're half-blood people from Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
I think they're called blood boys, but they're like blood bags or body...
We're talking about like billionaires who get like a young boy's blood to try to harvest...
Oh, like that guy...
To keep them younger.
Is this the guy that's... Is this along the lines of that guy that is like taking his
kid's it's Silicon Valley, Silicon
He's
Valley.
It's making fun of that billionaire, actually. Because that's actually another Mike Judge show. Because as we were talking about Idiocracy off, I don't want to say off air because we're not technically on the air right now.
Yeah, you're a radio guy.
This isn't live.
No.
Oh, we got a
radio
guy.
So I can say anything and we can edit it out?
We got a radio guy here.
You can, but you never know what Trey might leave in.
You got a radio guy here, Jay King. Big radio guy. Big.
He's wearing a radio shirt.
He is. We got Blake Ball here.
I've listened to the radio a couple times.
Have you?
I'm familiar with
terms.
Turning the button on.
The ticket?
I was always a fan guy.
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam.
No one even talks about the fan.
I will say nobody does. The only reason I listened to the fan growing up is because the Rangers were on the fan.
All right.
I don't know.
So that means he didn't actually have to listen to what they.
Right.
Listened to a single other thing on that station. I don't even know if that station's running.
You don't need to. They're barely run.
Really?
Barely.
I'm not going to say anything about any other competitors because I don't take the low hanging fruit.
Oh.
Oh, I do.
I'm a bigger man, and I say things behind people's backs.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't want to go after the low-hanging fruit with the other radio stations, what about going for the big boy? What's your opinion on Cumulus Media?
Don't you tell
me. What do you feel about the hang zone right now, Jay?
Distance. Distance. Do you I don't know anything.
Huh.
I'm just a lowly board op, sir.
Hmm. And I'm just a board ape.
$1 million.
That kind of pissed off Trey. You just see his face like that. That killed his mood immediately. He's just like, okay.
I mean,
like
he
didn't even say in his full voice, okay, dude. Like he whispered it as a disappointed parent. He's like, okay.
He didn't want it on the radio, or he didn't want it on air.
Yeah, that made him mad.
You lied to me about Norm's retirement. You came over here and you gave me that little childish smile of yours, that toothy grin, and you're like, I don't know what's going on.
He said not to say anything.
Norm,
and if you
retired.
Okay, would you, respect the
now
wish.
I can't believe a thing
I can't.
You
I'm
say.
Stuttering there, and I messed up. So respect the wishes of a 79-year-old.
No,
he said he didn't want anyone to know until he said it on air.
All right,
and so that's what I did. And I, you know, if I figured if I told you, I just had a feeling you might tweet it out to the whole world.
Because that's what I do.
You do, tweet dude. Stuff. Yeah. Have you seen your Twitter? All you do is just blast people, send dick pics, and all your little burners. That's what they're called.
Yeah. He's got
like 10 accounts, dude.
I do nothing but
blast
people.
I respect
people.
The burner because it still has your profile picture.
No.
Yeah, I know.
No. No, never respect the burner. Just be you. If you're going to call out people online, just be you, you know?
All right. I'm going to call it Jay King.
Do it right now.
Right now? What should I say about Jay?
My burner.
On Twitter?
Jay King.
You should use the F word and not fuck.
I should say Jay King is a friend.
I like that. Yeah, you're a good friend, too. I'd retweet that, pal.
I'm going to tweet that.
Let's move on. I don't want to hear all that sappy stuff.
You know who was a good friend to all of us? You want to actually, how about we do this?
What are we starting with first?
Let's talk about the writer strike. So we don't really talk too much news anymore here.
Yeah.
But the writer strike has commenced. Along with the, I'm
with,
sorry.
No, the actor strike,
the actor
has,
strike
commenced
has commenced along
with
the writer strike. So now
SAG
it's the Writers Guild of America, WGA,
Clint.
And SAG. Well, that's a tease for later.
Ooh, a little drop in, a little.
But yeah, so the Film Actors Guild. I think it's a lot. I didn't really pull it up, but I know it's
Wait,
like.
Hold on. You say it's not Film Actors Guild. I don't think that acronym
Screen
would fly.
Actors Guild.
Yeah, no, that's
that
from,
acronym, do not be going around saying and don't acronymize that.
Screen
tweeting
Actors
it. Yeah, Screen Actors Guild.
Acriminize?
Acriminized. I have a master's degree.
Film Actors Guild is from Team America World Police.
Yeah. I haven't seen that, but I know I knew.
You guys
that.
Like stupid comedies.
I like
tasteful things, you know,
like Team
Nickelback
America.
And Family Guy.
And Family Guy, jeez.
It's
the worst podcast.
I'm watching some of the new season, I'm not going to lie.
This podcast sucks.
You know, you reactivated your Snapchat because you had it not active. Because I took a very funny Family Guy clip just to send to you to make you mad, and you didn't have your Snapchat on, so I had to send it to Blake.
I saw it.
I only took
it just so I knew because it wouldn't irk you.
The actors are striking because of residuals. It's not about your big actors. It's about your, you know, background.
Like your jobbing actors.
Your jobbing actors. I mean, I was explaining to a friend yesterday. It's like, you know, the show The Bear. It's
great
like
show.
The cast. Yeah, very good show. Like the cast of The Bear, I'm sure a lot of those people aren't going to get a great deal from residuals, you know. So it's about the little guy. It's about making, you know, I think AI is a big thing also. You know, a lot of these corporations are trying to take the easy way out and replace actors with AI and background actors and stuff like that. So it's, we stay, are we a pro-union podcast?
I think for sponsorship reasons, yes, we are pro-union.
Uh-huh.
But everything you just said, like it all sucks for those, the specific actors. And then, you know,
this goes all over my head. The stuff
going on with the writers, like that also sucks too. But like specifically with those actors, with those jobbing actors and those kind of background characters, I didn't realize until today I was, you know, brushing up on all that kind of stuff. And they're talking about, whatever they came to the table, the other opposing side. I don't know who's in charge of that with saying like.
Bob Iger.
Yeah, Bob Iger at Disney saying like. You were like using AI and, you know, scanning these extras and using them, their image and likeness forever and whatever thing, and only pay them for one day's of work. Paying them $100 to use it in the background.
Yeah.
That's somebody's face. That's somebody's life. Like, you can't do that. And I don't know. That.
Yeah, Bob Iger has said some pretty shitty things about, you know, a lot of the talk has been about, you know, starving out the people in the unions, the writers and the actors and.
I'm sorry, he's just starting to play Family Guy clips as you're talking about this.
This podcast long as hell.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He has no attention span.
Yeah.
He's gone full Gen Z.
Sorry, ice cream.
Did
so
you
good.
See what Ron Perlman said? That
what
video
he
of
say?
Him? He's like, all you who's talking about going to fucking lose your house and apartment. "You don't know, motherfucker." I gotta find it because it's actually hilarious.
That clip was tripping me out because for a second it sounded like he was talking like a British accent because his voice was so messed.
The first time,
voice is so.
The first time I heard it, I just heard the audio. I didn't see him, so I was like, "Who is this?" And then I see it's Ron Perlman, but it's not the Ron
it's
Perlman.
Hellboy.
I know, like they showed him up close, and he's very old, and he's got a wonky eye, and I was like, "Is he drunk?"
That's Ron Perlman is Will Ferrell if he was really cool. You know,
man, I have such thoughts about Will Ferrell now.
The motherfucker who said we're gonna keep this thing going until people start losing their houses and their apartments. Listen to me, motherfucker. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. Some of it is financial, some of it is karma, and some of it is just figuring out who the fuck said that. And we know who said that. And where he fucking lives. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. You wish that on people. You wish that families starve while you're making $27 million a year for creating nothing. Be careful, motherfucker. Be really careful. Because that's the kind of shit that stirs shit up. Peace out.
Yeah.
Something tells me Ron Perlman's burned down a couple houses already. Like, he already knows how to do that.
He's also like that this is clearly at like 8 or 9 in the morning. The birds are chirping in the background. People are having like a nice, peaceful morning. And then there's this dude on his porch.
Just wants
"Listen
violence.
Up here, motherfucker. You make $27 million for absolutely fucking nothing. We're coming after you." And there's just like casual joggers in the background and people walking their babies and strollers. And just
"Come on,
like,
honey, let's go."
Super red Ron Perlman.
He's looking like Hellboy over there.
Yeah, he honestly kind of does, and he has makeup on, and he's going
full
red. Kind of
looks
red.
Like if George Dunham worked out a lot.
Is that like Lena's sister?
No. He's making a ticket reference.
I am.
So that's strike talk.
Yeah, strike talk. We are pro-union on this podcast, and we're with the writers and actors.
I'm with whatever's the most popular because I'm just influential with what I read on Twitter, you know?
Okay.
You just got to influence me on your side, you know? I'm highly impressionable.
And I know there's like talk about content creators, what we should cover, what they should cover, but we don't get paid for this, so I don't know really what we should or should not do.
Yeah. Wait, in what world? You mean
I guess if we talked about Oppenheimer and did like a review of Oppenheimer and promoted it, I think that's sort of frowned upon. But we're not making money, and I don't know how many people actually listen to this podcast.
I see what you're saying.
Like if you're on TikTok or YouTube and you are making money off of pretty much promoting, like you're a reviewer or a content creator. Making content about these movies, you know, "Hey, I went to the premiere of Oppenheimer. This is what I saw. These are my impressions. This is what I thought." Those people are getting kind of scrutinized now.
See, okay, my thought process on that is,
but I think it's from the unions talking to those people.
They're telling them to stop talking about
it? There's certain things, like, yes, like promotion for studio is not good. I know, like, one guy's just doing like reviews of older stuff now for a while.
So, okay. Honestly,
I we don't get paid for this, so I don't think we fall.
Oh well, I'm
say whatever you want, bro.
No, I'm gonna spit some facts.
Go off, King.
That to me is a little frustrating. That's on the part of the union coming after. Obviously, the union's good. Like,
I don't think they're coming after. I think it's like hey, you should probably do this to be
okay.
In good
but these
spirit.
These YouTubers, they're not in the fucking union. They're not right. In the movie. They're not. They didn't make anything. They didn't contribute to that movie. I think it should be, if your conscience as a content creator, especially if you're like Chris Stuckman or like, you know, Jeremy Johns, or like any of those bigger people, there's a couple other that I could mention that I actually really like. If they have a specific, like, conscious, like, if their conscience is telling them, don't promote, don't review, whatever, more power to you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think the average Persian or person.
Persian.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
He's starting to get racial on us now.
I don't think the average
Damn Persians.
I don't think the average person should give any content creator any flack for doing that because that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they make money. You don't know how these reviewers on YouTube that are really big make money? It's by reviewing movies.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I don't know. That's kind of my thing. And like, obviously, we're not making any money. off this well, podcast.
If we are, Trey's hiding it.
Yeah, about to say.
He's pocketing it.
I was wondering why me and Jay live in squalor and Trey's got five-story estate.
Yes, man. Yes.
Trey lives like just a mile away from Highland Park. So
He really does.
We
can give you all the exact coordinates.
I mean, you can see my bedroom from where you're sitting right now and my
Russia
kitchen.
From your house.
You can.
Well, when your bedroom is on the fifth floor up at the very top, it's kind of hard not to see.
Yeah, Trey kind of lives in a high rise.
He lives in
it. We're actually in it's my own studio right now.
Wait, are we in the stew?
We're in the stew right now. It's, you know.
I mean, he even has a workout center that he can walk to right across the street. It's got a coffee shop. Trey's got a resort style.
Wait, no, this is not about me. This is about Trey. Trey's got a resort style pool. Trey's got a sports bar, two-story sports bar.
This is insane.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
Where's all my money? Why
can't
I live like this?
Okay, Blake, you live like two apartment complexes next to me.
Dude, in Dallas, buddy, that's like living
and yours, and yours
country.
Is triple the size of my place.
We don't got to get into semantics. Okay.
He does have a garage fridge in the living room, not going to lie.
He does have a garage.
But imagine that garage fridge. Imagine if that garage fridge was in a garage. That's money.
Well, shit.
Trey has like two studios. He has one right here and then one over there.
I guess
See? Two studios.
But only one fridge.
One fridge.
With a bowl of eggs.
You know what? You keep that.
No.
You obviously need them more than we do. Mr. One Fridge over here.
He puts his eggs in a bowl in the fridge. Why do you take them out? You have a carrier.
Oh, no, no.
Comes
those
in.
Are hard-boiled eggs.
Oh.
Yeah.
That does make more sense.
Yeah.
That does make more sense.
It does.
Okay, a little off topic. We'll get back to the movie talk in just a second. On the topic of hard-boiled eggs.
They're kind of awesome.
Anytime I make mine, I usually, when I want them, I'll make them, and I'll just make however many I'm going to eat.
10.
You meal prep. Yeah, a quick 24, 36. You egg prep. How long do you keep them in your fridge?
Those are probably good a week.
Yeah, like how? Like, what's the shelf life on that?
I mean, I get a carton of 12, and then I cook those 12 and eat those every day.
You eat a 12 every single day?
No, I think that's two every day.
Oh,
two a day.
Oh, okay.
For a week.
I was about to say.
I swear he said the same thing too. I was like, that's a Joey Diaz breakfast.
I was like,
12 eggs every day.
That's a lot of eggs.
That's insane. Your cholesterol, like, you would have a heart attack soon.
Yeah.
I have a little hard boiled maker.
Does that work?
Yeah, it works.
And it's nostalgia. My popcorn maker's nostalgia brand.
Yeah.
I've
been using it for like 2 years.
I put my eggs in the Instant Pot. Not going to lie. And it makes. Hard-boiled eggs. What if I put them in the air fryer? What do you think would happen?
Fried eggs?
That was...
This is why we need visuals.
Now I'm pissed.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Now y'all need to say something to make me mad.
Right. No, we can.
Please don't.
Don't call her, bro. She doesn't like you.
So
to be fair, though, so hear me out. She never did... So how am I going to make it any worse?
Well, at least she paid part of the rent.
Did she?
Yeah, 50%.
Anyway, she
paid 50% of it. Now I'm mad.
That was strike talk.
That was strike talk.
So what's next?
We saw Indiana Jones.
Show me your run sheet. I did not.
The Dial of Destiny.
Two-thirds of us did.
I know I ended an episode like this a couple weeks ago, but Trust Tree, I've never seen any Indiana Jones
movie. You haven't seen any of the Indiana Jones
ever.
Movies. Wow. You know what? You don't belong in the Trust Tree.
So, yeah, you haven't seen Indiana Jones.
Nope,
any
I just
movie.
Know it has Nazis.
And unlike some members of the ticket, I'm not going to jump down your throat and give you shit. You know what? People see things in their own time, and I think you should see those movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
You should start with Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Is that the one with Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah. Best one by far. And then maybe do Temple of Doom, and then Dial of Destiny, and then Last Crusade. And then Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Is that your ranking?
Yeah, because Raiders of the Lost Ark was obviously the worst one.
You've already lost me.
Is that his ranking? Is that your ranking backwards?
Is that the one with the giant rock that he has to run away from that's like a big old ball?
Oh, like the quintessential Indiana Jones?
Yeah, that's the first one.
But it's funny,
I only
though.
Know that because Family Guy made fun of it.
They make fun of that? And
I
then,
only
like,
said that just because I did Trey get the biggest eye roll.
If they made a Family Guy version, okay. What about this? So they made Family Guy Star Wars.
Yeah.
Why can't they do Family Guy Indiana Jones?
Because they practically have already done it
with that one.
How would you know? You don't even like Family Guy, bro.
I love Family Guy. You don't know.
Maybe
mark that.
That
he
case,
said it.
I'm gonna be over here watching Family Guy.
No, bro, don't watch it without me. Come on. What episode are you on?
I love
the whale's
Family
fattest
Guy.
Moments top 10. That's my favorite tweet of the year. That had nothing to do with this conversation, but I felt like I had to get it off.
Trey, Family Guy, Bob's Burgers, American Dad. What are you choosing?
Fuck, Kill, Mary?
Yeah. Fuck, I forgot King of the Hill.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. Okay, South Park, King of the Hill. What's my rankings?
Of adult animation.
Okay, so...
When you say adult animation...
I'm not talking about, like, Stripperella.
I want to say King of the Hill, number one.
Okay. I respect that.
Some
people, the only thing about King of the Hill is some people take it so seriously here that they can't tell that it's actually a very much of a satire.
Well, it's making fun of Texas.
Yeah, but so many people are like, oh, yeah, I get that. I was like, wait.
They said Whataburger.
He's hardcore making fun of you.
They said UT.
I think it's done out of love, though.
No, it is, because, I mean, he's from here.
Yeah, I don't think it's a... scorching
no it's just some people just don't get to see the satire in
no
it
it's
at
100%
all.
Satire, but I don't think it's like mean, you know?
No, okay, so sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. It's not mean, but it's I don't think a lot of people can recognize the satire in it because they live it.
Sure.
It's very accurate.
Maybe King of the Hill. God, like Simpsons at its best is probably number one.
Yeah, but I agree. Simpsons
was that like 2002?
No, Simpsons.
Early 90s was
like
the
Conan
best?
O'Brien.
First season of The Simpsons was 89. So what Simpsons purists think, I'm getting very nerdy in that.
Yeah.
What Simpsons purists think is that The Simpsons, like, I think seasons 1 through 12 are the best, and honestly a lot of people don't pick up even until season 3, so it's a very small window of time when the writer's room was insane with the amount of people they had in it, like Conan and all that. And there's episodes when you watch, you can clearly tell like Conan O'Brien wrote this. There's certain aspects to the comedy and
the
stuff
college
like that.
One.
Yep.
I think,
but I like all the Simpsons.
I think probably Simpsons, King of the Hill, South Park, then I'll go, does BoJack Horseman count?
You could, honestly. I would let you count that. It's a newer wave.
Yeah, but say we're doing
but
classics.
That's not really like... That's not in the same style as like the...
It's almost like a chowder.
No, but I did say... Animation. I did say adult animation, so it would technically fall under it.
But no, it opened the door for a lot
another
of
week.
But
let's do this another week.
Fair.
Because I want to write all this down and look through it. Because I think it would be a good talk. Because
I would say if you had BoJack on there, you...
But that's
I would say that's unfair, but you wouldn't have BoJack if you didn't have Simpsons, Family Guy, or South Park.
I think Simpsons,
that's
Family Guy, South Park, they're unstuck in time. They're in that like that sliding timeline, whereas BoJack Horseman is a narrative.
Yeah.
You know? So
you know,
it's a little different.
You can tell, you can end BoJack Horseman. You can't really end like South Park, Family
Guy.
Like
there's not
those,
an ongoing storyline. Yeah. There's not a beginning and an end. It just picks it up, and whenever it stops, it's just
I wouldn't count BoJack in those.
Because that also opens up the door
for everything.
Anything.
Yeah.
Big Mouth.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. Any crappy Netflix original. Not Big Mouth. I think Big Mouth is funny. But there's some misses. I've actually only seen the first episode.
Yeah.
And I was hoping we would just blow past that because I kind of capped a little bit when I said I liked it. I enjoyed the first episode.
Was very stupid.
That and F is for Family, did not like that.
That's Bill Burr's show.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch it.
I don't know. Anyways, we'll get back to this.
That
we'll
was adult
Dial of Destiny.
That was adult animation talk. Yeah. Now let's go back to Indiana Jones, which I've never seen.
So, I guess, what's your ranking of Indiana Jones movies?
Indiana Jones movies, this is going to be...
It's probably the same as mine.
It's funny because I have a soft spot in my heart. I grew up with the movies...
Today, Junior...
I feel like I'm with Floyd Mayweather and 50 Cent. So I grew up with Indiana Jones movies like as a child growing up. Like I didn't watch them when they came out in theaters, obviously. So like I was very young when I saw them all, like literally 10 years old. So I gravitated towards Temple of Doom because it had Short Round in it, had all, you know, it was cool. But it was so different from the other ones the other ones were like kind of religious based, like Holy Grail, Ark of the Covenant, that kind of thing. Temple of Doom was just kind of like, ooh, spooky, scary, whatever, whatever. And I gravitated towards that as a kid just honestly because of Short Round. And I thought it was funny. Now I would probably switch that and go probably Raiders of the Lost Ark, Last Crusade, Temple of Doom. Probably Dial of Destiny, and then Kingdom of the Crystal Stool. Kingdom Stool. Of the Crystal. I can't talk today.
Persian King- Stool. Like
Kingdom of the Crystal.
They're searching for like a crystal stool.
Oh, they're going to find it. I'll tell you what. They're searching the wrong spot. No,
I heard that movie was hot shit. So.
Yeah. That's. And the thing is, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, that was the first one I saw in theaters, obviously. So I was super hyped up. And leaving the theater, I was like, oh, that was so cool. I got to see an Indiana Jones movie in the theaters. Looking back on it, that movie's horseshit compared to the other ones. It's not a bad, bad, bad movie relative to cinema as a whole. But in the realm of, I don't even want to say the George Lucas world because he kind of, everything kind of went to shit. Like the South Park episode made fun of it perfectly. But like up until then, I don't know. I'm going on a tangent here. But that's my five. I'll flip that back to you, Trayward.
I think that's probably mine. I have not seen Kingdom of the Crystal Skull since it came out.
Yeah.
So I don't remember a lot of it.
The thing that sticks in my mind is her getting dragged into that giant ant pile.
That was a great scene.
Yeah, that was really good. But the story behind it. With those aliens.
The aliens.
Oh, it is just dumb. Dumb. Because the original.
Alien Nazis?
Well, the original Indiana Jones, they were alien Nazis. Or they were Nazis trying to use alien stuff. And it's just so funny because it's like, of course, the original trilogy, like, it's outlandish and it's crazy. But it's like, it's rooted in some form of, like, groundedness because it's all religion based. And, like, you know, I'm not going to get into religious topics here, but there's people out there that truly believe the Ark of the Covenant is 100% real. There's people that truly believe that.
Libs.
There's truly people that believe the what is it, the Chalice thing?
The Holy
Goblet
Grail?
Of Fire?
Yeah, the Holy Grail. They believe that is, yeah, the Goblet of Fire. No, they believe the Holy Grail is real. There's people that 100% believe that that's not fantasy. So it's like, whenever you flip the
but
script.
But do you believe that there are aliens in the universe?
Well, that's what
universe?
I'm
I mean, same
okay.
people. There's a lot of people who think Harry Potter is real, too. So.
Well, those are some people I don't want to be around.
But just saying.
Yeah.
Lots of people think lots of things are real. Don't mean they are.
But what's funny is you actually bring up an interesting point. People, like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, the aliens, people are like, oh, that's so. They ruined it because aliens, you know, it's whatever. Like, it takes you out of that kind of mindset. But it's like, in reality, aliens are 100% real. Yeah. That's the most realistic
Tom
episode.
Tom from Blink 182 proved
it. Yeah, that's the most when you think about it, that's the most realistic movie because Dial of Destiny, like, of course that's not real. You can't go back in time. No. Like, duh. But it's like, well,
I saw The Flash. You can't. You kind of can.
I wish I could go back in time to before I watched that movie. Bam! Jamie played a clip.
But then what if you put yourself in a situation like that movie, and there's three of you trying to stop the younger one and the older one trying to stop you from trying to stop the movie from being created. I think that's what probably happened because that movie was announced in 2017 and it went through so much shit. So
I'm going to say something that might catch me some flack. If there was three of me, I would never leave my room. And if you know what I'm saying. If you know what I'm saying.
He's saying
if you know what I'm saying.
He's saying he would have sex with himself.
Probably.
I mean, I did it earlier today,
right,
technically.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird if you had to kiss yourself, man.
I feel like.
Who else is going to accept?
Have you seen the video of the island boys kissing?
Yes. And
I really
seen,
wish I hadn't seen
And I
that,
also
dude.
Saw all the replies. Yeah. Licking tongues.
Did you see that,
no.
Trey? Do
no.
you know who the island boys are?
No, I don't. Don't show me. I don't want to know.
I think we've.
I'm gonna show Trey.
I think we've really dumbed down this podcast for Trey. We're not like we're not intellectuals like him and Adam. We talk about movies, not films.
We talk about island boys.
Yeah.
From the Caribbean. Okay.
There was that kind of did ruin my Thursday when I saw the video of the island boys kissing. So.
But yeah, Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny. So initially it was apparent that, and this isn't the fault of the director, James Mangold, who did Logan, but it was definitely not a Spielberg feeling movie. Spielberg movies are very light on their feet. They're very flowy. They're very fun. This didn't have that.
This motherfucker's never seen Saving Private Ryan.
Well, no, I mean,
that was light on its feet.
In a way, it was very fun.
I mean, it's exciting, you know, and it has interesting shots that come like kind of flow together.
I know
together.
What you're saying. Yeah. I was just
and, you know, and that's kind of
I'm
not
just joshing your
it's sort
chain.
Of lost in this movie. Just,
yeah, I this one was the I mean, because this movie felt like different from the originals, probably because of the directing and all that kind of stuff. But it like even beyond just the characters, like the movie itself, as much as I enjoyed it, like it was, you know, I wasn't angry at the movie. I, you know, I didn't absolutely love it. It was fun. It was cool. But it's like it seemed like there was something about it that just seemed so safe. So so Disney-fied,
I'm
100%
with you.
Yeah, and I'm just like, because even I mean, obviously different times, but like, I'm not saying the movies got super racy, but it's like it felt like a real movie back in the day.
Yeah,
this one felt like it was focus group to death, well, catered to kids as well. And it's like, to me, that just doesn't grasp me like.
Well,
it
that was the great thing about Indiana Jones is like, he could get hurt. Like he could, you could, you know. He wasn't always the most smooth. Like, he would get into pickles.
Well, he's a history professor.
Right.
He was just in the horrible predicaments.
To be fair, Harrison Ford has, like, legit been in plane accidents and whatnot. So he might be Indiana Jones in real life.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah. But, like, yeah, he would get hurt. He would, you know, there'd be fun gags about, like, him getting hit in the face. This one, it was teetering towards he's super power guy. Like, the scene with him on the horse and the... And the subway station, like, it's becoming, the action scenes are becoming ridiculous now.
Well, what's funny is, because I thought the same thing, I was like, there's no way an 80-year-old could hop on a horse like that and do that. And there's so many things that a normal 80-year-old, you know, shouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
But then they also were playing the game of, oh, I'm 80 years old, I can't be doing this
anymore.
I'm like, you just did it. What are you talking about? You can't do it.
Too much, which is good.
Yeah.
You know?
Getting too old for this shit and then gets into a big fight.
Yeah, and he does it the things that he's too old for. I'm like, you're obviously not too old for it if you're going to keep doing it. But I know I wasn't mad at it. I probably won't. I'm not itching to watch it again. It's not a classic. When I, 30 years from now, when I'm showing my kids Indiana Jones, like my dad showed me, I'm probably not going to show them the last
two.
You're
going to show them Indiana Jones? Maybe 60, and there will be 20 something.
Oh, dude, you're right. I'm old. I mean, oh, my God. Maybe in 10 years.
Okay,
I don't know. Maybe 10 years. In the future, when I have kids and they're willing to watch the movies I want to show, I'm probably not going to go to the last two. I'm probably just going to do the trilogy. Because in my mind, that's the Indiana Jones. These movies are almost like, to me, this one felt like some of the Disney Plus shows. That's a way, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to me.
Why are you watching those, bro?
I'm not anymore. Honestly, like Secret Invasion.
Sorry, I took a note so I can bring it up for you.
But,
it all kind of felt slow. Like the action scenes, like felt slow. Like the, and I think that's just.
I don't think you're allowed to call people
old.
That anymore.
I'm gonna move past that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like Harrison Ford was just. I mean, he's old. It was sort of like the scene in The Irishman where Robert De Niro is beating the. It's supposed to be young Robert De Niro, and he's beating the crap out of someone.
Oh,
it just looks like an old man is fighting. It was a little bit like that. The de-aging stuff wasn't great.
I was going to say, how did it look? I don't
it didn't
know
look.
CGI.
It was the worst part of the movie.
Yeah.
Horrible.
The one thing I did see, like production shots, was like the old man masks that they made for all the stunt doubles, like riding on the bikes and stuff. And that was actually pretty impressive, those practical masks. I mean, obviously it can't look 100%, but it looked really, like really, really good. But I didn't know how the de-aging would look, especially for someone who's 80 years old.
Those masks actually looked scary good. Scary accurate. I know the ones you're talking about. But the de-aging for me, it's just like, how are you going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars in being this far into CGI that you can't make a convincing de-age? Like, the face, there's a couple scenes where the face didn't even look lined up with the rest of the body. And I'm like, this should be in another world when Oppenheimer and Barbie isn't a thing. This should have been the biggest movie of the year.
Yeah.
A huge cultural thing. And I'm like, how are you going to draw the ball on that? And like, I expressed this to Trey right after the movie. The de-aging, you can get away with having it look kind of crappy. Like, just it is what it is. But if the audio is not convincing. Mm-hmm. He didn't sound like a 40-year-old Harrison Ford. He sounded like an 80-year-old Harrison Ford with a 40-year-old body.
But he's also
sounded
like 80-year-old Harrison Ford for the past like 10 years.
But it's
old
like
and pissed off.
That's how he sounded like. But like back, you go back in the day, you watch New Hope, Star Wars, any of those movies in the original Indiana Jones.
I watched
like
Blade Runner, bro.
I'm looking at it right now. Like he sounded in this movie like an 85-year-old defeated man when he's supposed to be in his prime, you know, that we knew him from back in the day. And it's also a thing, it's like, we know what young Harrison Ford sounds like.
Yeah. And
we
know what Indiana Jones sounds like. That was the issue I had with like the Irishman, where like, you know what
Irish people sound like.
Yeah, oil.
You know what 30-year-old Robert De Niro looked like, and that does not look like a 30-year-old Robert De Niro.
Put
just
freaking
get an
taxi
actor.
Driver in there.
Just get an actor. Just get another actor. We get it. Like, that's my thing. It's like, why do the DH stuff? Get another actor to play young Harrison Ford.
We've done that already.
Yeah.
With Solo.
Right. Just get
you
that guy.
You should have got the same guy.
Get him to do it.
Then trip people
you
out.
You get it. They did that
Childish
in the third
Gambino?
Movie.
Yeah, we could have got Childish Gambino.
Get Donald Glover. Do it.
No one would have questioned anything if you got young Donald Glover to play. Donald Glover to play young Harrison Ford. Like they just biracially switched them.
Sure.
Like no one's gonna say anything.
No one, because it's Donald Glover. Everyone loves.
Yeah,
Donald Glover.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that'd actually be hilarious.
Hey, like people started to be like, "Is that supposed to be?" I guess that is Indiana.
Hey,
sure.
Everyone
cool.
loves Childish Gambino. I got some of him on my playlist. Uber rides. He's great.
He's good for the tips.
He's good for the tips.
Yeah. Just the tip.
Ayo.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it just didn't feel like the final movie.
No, it didn't.
Like, it just didn't feel like it was missing something. I don't know what it is, but
it was missing a convincing story. I just didn't find myself caring. Yeah. I didn't find myself... I'm sorry.
I was... sorry. I had something pulled up that was... about Barbie that I was going to read, but then the tweet underneath it.
What was it?
It's the dude, you know, the rich stepson from the...
Oh, Blink-182, stepson,
yeah, the
submarine.
Dude, the submarine guy. He
Is
just
it Philly?
He just tweeted 3 hours ago, I'd fuck the shit out of a trans girl. And I was like,
well, we got that now. We got
Keep
Jay
it.
Saying
Keep
it.
It's a tweet.
Well, it's out of context.
He is, buddy. No, it's but, in I mean, context, brother. That's all the context I need.
And it's just the most, I mean, I kind of expect that from his Twitter page.
How long does he have to grieve for, man? I mean, come on.
I don't think he's grieving.
I don't think he ever actually grieved.
Also, have we confirmed that that's actually him?
Yeah, they have.
Oh, my God. Look at his Philly tweets. Go to his account and look at his Philly tweets. that's fair.
Based. I'm sorry. Get back on it.
Oh, but like Indiana Jones, like it didn't.
I'm putting that in there.
Oh, good that we got interrupted by
the
rich stepson of the billionaire who died in the submarine.
And you saying a tweet?
I just you're gonna use that against me, but I don't care because honestly, I support. That's why I don't drink Bud Light.
Yeah, there you go.
I drank like 4 of them this weekend, 4 six packs.
I just don't drink it because the only time Bud Light is good.
You
is,
should say I don't drink Bud Light for moral reasons.
No, not for moral reasons. It just only,
like, where are you
just,
going with that?
No, Bud Light just doesn't taste good. But the only time Bud Light is good is when it's free.
I will say I was at a wedding on Friday night in the open bar. I'm on myself a Blake self-proclaimed.
I'm a lone
liquor
star
ban.
Guy.
I'm on a liquor ban, so I'm just drinking beer. Usually a open bar when there's Shiner available, I'll drink a Shiner. But I wanted to keep it light, so I had a Bud Light, and of course I got the flack for it by the bartender as a joke. But that was like nectar of the gods. That was the best Bud Light, and I had like 6-7 more of them.
Just drink, if you're going to drink that, just drink a real Bud. Budweiser's 5%.
Well, they don't have Budweiser. At the open bar, it was Michelob Ultra, Bud Light, and Shiner. I really wanted to do
Then give me the Michelob at that point.
But the thing is, I've been drinking straight Michelob for months now. I wanted a little bit of a change. You know what I'm saying?
Can I
get the nod of approval?
So,
what's next?
Dial of Destiny. It is funny how they just killed off Shia LaBeouf off screen.
Within like half a breath.
He's dead. Nah, he's just dead.
Honestly. You know?
And then I felt like a racist because I thought Pedro Pascal was in the movie for 3 minutes.
I thought he was for that
it looked
one
like
frame.
Yes, at that one
or
frame.
That one screen. Or...
But Antonio Banderas is in the
movie. He had a youthful eyes.
He does have the eyes. Yeah, it's the eyes.
But then once he starts talking, you're like, oh, this guy's 65. You know,
it's puss in boots.
Yeah, then he got really into... He started off as like a normal... His voice sounded normal.
Yeah.
And then he got really puss in bootsy for a second. And I was like... I love that guy.
Yeah. Bucks I know you like Puss in Boots. You I like cats. Him. You're a cat boy.
I love Yeah, I'm a cat boy.
I think we've taken 20 minutes to say it's an okay movie. It's not as bad as Crystal Skull. It's just kind of there. It's just sort of meh.
So not to be like nihilistic or anything, but I've come to like the unfortunate conclusion that like I don't even know what all the causes are. Everything is just so damn homogenized now. Everything is the fucking same. Every social media platform is the exact same. Every video YouTube account you watch is the same. Every
Yeehaw,
movie.
Cowboy.
Yeah. Every movie is like the same. Yeah. Dude, don't get me. I'm a caller. I want her so bad. Oh my God. Okay. I think she's French.
I don't. No.
Imagine come home from a long day of work and you just want peace and quiet. And you just
it's an okay
the
movie.
Room.
Indiana Jones is an okay movie.
I think a lot of the big budget AAA stuff is the same. I would disagree that like, I mean, you know, we had movies like After Sun and
you love that movie, don't you?
Titan and we had a whole bunch of like crazy movies come out the past few years.
Well, though that's fair.
But they're like smaller scale, smaller budget, you know, audience, smaller audiences.
I was definitely referring to like the 200 million plus box office. And to me, like, and this can be maybe we can move on. We've been on this for a minute. Like, this movie really solidified me kind of agreeing with Martin Scorsese when he said like their theme park rides.
Yeah.
This was the first Indiana Jones movie, even more so than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Like I still think that was like a regular like action movie or whatever. This felt like a theme park. Felt safe. Felt like a theme park with, you know, extra seat belts on.
I mean, you know, even my boy Mads Mikkelsen was kind of safe. You know?
Yeah.
He did his thing, but it wasn't like that compelling, and I love Mads Mikkelsen. You know,
well, the thing is, it's like they're Nazis, so we're I mean, for a good reason, we've been conditioned to hate Nazis and to think negatively of them.
Yeah,
but it's like we know they're bad. Like that's not enough.
Else.
That's not enough for me to. I mean, it's enough for me to hate that guy and hate the character. Like we know we already supposed to hate him. Give me something about him specifically.
Yeah,
give me like a rage inside of him. Give me something like we just hated him because he was a Nazi, and like of course we hate Nazis.
Mads Mikkelsen's like so talented. You could have done so much with Mads Mikkelsen,
dude.
You know?
I've seen him do things. It's just even without saying anything, he can command a room.
You need to watch the movie, The Hunt. Okay. It's fantastic. It's by a director I do like.
The one with the village where he gets accused.
Yes.
That's a very good movie, but it's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah,
but it's very good.
Is it old or new?
Like 2011.
Yeah, I think 2011.
He did,
2012.
He did another round.
It is
as
a foreign film, so you got to watch it with subtitles.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
Good.
It's a very emotional, impactful movie. But it's very tough to watch at times. And no, he is very good in that.
Yeah.
Is it like on Netflix or something?
I'll find it.
I've gotten into foreign films now that
I can give you a good list.
Well, now that we live by the Angelica Theater, like, or old movies, foreign films, we're blessed with a lot of South Korean and Japanese films that go to that theater.
Yeah,
I like Family Guy and I like The Hunt.
There you go.
See, I'm diverse. It's
the duality of man, right?
I mean,
The Hunt is on Tubi.
Oh,
hey,
Tubi's awesome. Not gonna lie,
I'm more of a Temu guy. The new Wish, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. DH Gate.
Yeah.
The Hunt.
No, Tubi's Tubi's awesome and Pluto's awesome. You can find a bunch of good movies on there.
Is that the same realm as Plex?
I don't know what Plex is.
Plex is like do you know what Plex is?
Tubi and Pluto are both free. So I don't know if Plex is or not.
Is it free like Freevee?
I don't know what Freevee is.
it's like I'm in a parallel universe. You don't know Freevee. You don't know what do you don't know.
I'm guessing
Boo Boo Baba.
Freevee is free.
No, Freevee, in my understanding, is IMDb TV. IMDb TV, their rebrand.
Oh,
do you know IMDb?
Yeah,
it's just basically it's free movies and stuff, but it's all ads.
Okay. That's how Tubi and Pluto are.
Yeah. Well, they even have free movies on YouTube now.
So Tubi, yeah, that's true. So Tubi is owned by the Fox Corporation, and so they have...
Known good guys.
Yeah, known good guys. But that means they have access to a shit ton of their movies and TV shows, so they get all those. And, like, a bunch of stuff that left HBO Max when HBO converted to just Max itself, and a lot of that fell off of that streaming service went over to Tubi and places like that. Now you can watch it for free. And then Pluto TV's the same way.
So is that...
Except that one's owned by Paramount.
Is the Fox one, is that movies like Fox Searchlight and 21st Century, like those kind of movies?
I think so.
Maybe not all of them, but...
I'll have to take a look, but there's a lot on there. You'd be surprised. You have to weed through some of the crappy ones, because, of course, it's a free service. But, yeah, dude, there's a lot of really, really good stuff on there.
I'm going to have to...
And Pluto TV's awesome because it's... Pluto TV is built like cable. Tubi's more like a free streaming service. Now, Pluto has the on-demand, but Pluto's more like... free cable.
It's like it's on right now.
Yeah, and it's like channel surfing. Like there's an awesome channel that's 24-hour stream of just Cops, like old episodes of Cops. There's like game show channels. There's one that just plays Jerry Springer and Maury episodes.
It's free?
It's free. It's
is
awesome,
it all
dude.
Like but you know, commercials just, yeah, like
dude, think of it as free DirecTV essentially.
Then why is DirecTV not free? There's commercials on there.
Oh, I know. It's because,
that's another conversation.
It's because a lot of this...
Big cable.
As I said, Pluto is owned by Paramount, which is a Viacom company. So they have so much IP that they can create basically free cable with ads and then just give it out to people, because all the ads that they sell basically pays off that IP right there.
Plus all their... I guess better stuff on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're making money both ways, and they're making money off the ads. So they're, and they already had all that IP. Maybe it didn't fit the Paramount Plus.
Yes.
So they're like, well, we're not using this, so we're not making any money. We might as well make a little money.
All the regular CBS shows, like that Queen Latifah, The Equalizer, and stuff like that. I don't really know who watches that kind of shows now, but all those go over to Pluto TV, like on demand and stuff afterwards.
Interesting.
And they have movie channels and stuff like that. It's not a bad selection. Like, I watched The Big Short on it last night.
Why don't you talk about what you've been watching, Jay? Then we can talk about Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, fair. I watched Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3 for the first time, because I hadn't seen 2 yet, so I didn't see 3 right when it came out.
I broke my Marvel superhero ban, though I kind of do want to go watch all the Snyder movies, I broke my Marvel ban to see Guardians, and I enjoyed it. I think we talked about it on this podcast. It's very good.
It's
like a big space movie.
It's a very, I mean, it's a superhero movie in its ways with the action and all that stuff, but it has a story within it that's like, damn, dude, like, it's a tearjerker in some ways. It makes you feel for the animals. Like, it gives you Rocket's past, his PTSD and everything. And you're like, why did movie about superheroes like this, where animals with guns and aliens and stuff like that, have me on the verge of tears?
It feels more like a big space movie than a superhero movie, though. Like, it feels like a big space opera, like, you know,
sci-fi, now that his whole universe is established, and so he didn't have to explain all these characters, so now he can just jump from them all the time.
And, like, there's really no, like, Marvel connection whatsoever to it, either.
It's its own thing.
Yeah. Well, also, like, when you think about it, like, obviously Drax is super strong, and Mantis has her things, too.
Second best friend.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Drax was probably my favorite in that movie.
He's the only character I'm going to miss. Because I know he's not coming back.
Yeah,
Batista's
done.
Unfortunately, he's so funny. But like the main guy in Guardians of the Galaxy, he doesn't have any superpowers.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, Chris Pratt, Star-Lord. Like,
well, he's the voice of Mario.
That's his superpower. He did hit that in the middle. I don't know if you heard it, very quiet. But I don't know. It did feel a little more grounded as a form, compared to the other Marvel movies where they're just so, like, fantastical.
Yeah.
To a negative extent.
Yeah.
This one was more of a character study.
Okay, so all those Marvel movies feel like they're leading to something. This one was its own thing. Like, didn't feel like you had to... It was leading off to something else. Like, the story started and stopped, and you're like, cool, you felt fulfilled at the end of it.
Well, I also like this one because, I mean, obviously it picks up kind of where the other movies left off, but you could watch this movie with very little background without having seen anything else and still be fulfilled by watching.
So that's why I delayed so long in watching the third one, was because I hadn't seen the second one yet. So I went back and watched the second one. And then when I watched the third one, I was like, I really didn't even have to watch this because there was barely any details from the second one that carried from the third one, because all the Avengers shit that happened in between is like, that's more important to three than part two is, which is insane.
The Avengers stuff and all the TV shows, like, it's, there's so much. That's another conversation that I want to have on this podcast when we have a little more
time. Too much shit.
Too much homework.
Well,
why do I got to watch?
They're toning down.
Yeah, they're
good.
Drastically toning
because
down.
Because I have not watched a Marvel show
or
since
Star
before. I watched one episode of Obi-Wan. That was the last thing I watched.
Yeah,
but we can discuss that later. But no, it's crazy that the character that I felt most like I saw myself in was a little freaking raccoon.
Yeah.
Like when he was having that panic attack.
Oh yeah.
Like, I was like, that's the most realistic, like, mental or anxiety attack that I've seen, like, on the big screen in, like, a big budget, like, film like that. And it's a freaking raccoon.
Puss in Boots, bro.
To be fair, that is true. They have a really good way of using those cute little bubble animals to showcase,
traumatize you.
To showcase, like, the human experience.
Yeah, because what was it? The otter, the rabbit, and then what was the other one?
A walrus.
A tusks.
Yeah. Was he the one with the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just
cried, dude.
Just went and killed him. I was like,
with no remorse.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to lie. I watched the movie between 4 and 6 a.m. And I'm sitting there with my mouth open looking at my brother. It's like, I thought we were watching something fun here. Okay. Yeah. I thought we were going to watch a fun movie.
That's kind of how I felt going into. I knew there was a little bit about it because I saw the trailer and all that kind of stuff. But I thought that was like a small thing. I'm glad it was the overarching theme, but I also am still glad that they had like a little bit of comic relief, kind of like old school Marvel stuff, like with the.
It didn't feel like super forced.
Yeah. It was like the characters.
It made sense for the characters, like, yeah.
And what are they? The Adam and his mom, or whatever.
Warlock.
Yeah, Adam Warlock.
That felt the most Marvel-y thing in there.
But the thing is, I didn't hate it because it wasn't shoving down your throat. Right. Every other word is a one-liner joke.
Yeah.
It was like, that comes in just to remind us we're watching a Marvel movie and to kind of tie in the
world. Well, and then the music was awesome when comes in like the first two minutes. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I loved the Flaming Lips in there as well.
And then, yes, all the Guardians soundtracks have been awesome.
What year was this? What decade was this? Because isn't every decade like every movie like a different decade of music? Or is it all from the same?
I think they're all like 70s, 80s,
90s.
70s,
80s? Okay. Because
I heard like 2000s.
Yeah, I heard this one.
Oh, okay, maybe he's added.
Yeah,
maybe
this
added
one
more,
was like 2000s.
Yeah.
Music. Okay, so I think the first one was more like 70s, 80s from like his mom when he was a kid, like that
off
type
that
of music. Now I think, now I think it's grown into more modern. Mm-hmm. So there's the old and new.
Yeah.
But
because there was another song that I specifically was like a early 2000s song, and I was like,
That's weird. I loved his little, I don't know what it is, his pet that he got at the end of it, Adam Warlock.
Oh, yeah.
The one that got threatened to be killed, and he was like, no.
Yeah.
Because that's how I am with, like, little dogs and cats and stuff. He's like, no, you ain't killing this thing.
That's how I am.
Yeah. He was great.
I saw Finn and all those little animals.
You could call him, I know, you could call him the actor with eyebrows, or what's his real name? Will Poulter.
Will, yeah.
Yeah.
He's always going to be eyebrows.
Yeah. But he's... I like him in
Will
everything
Poulter
he's in.
Will Poulter and the guy from Shameless confused.
Jeremy Allen White?
Yeah. They look
Well, guess what?
Similar.
They're both in The Bear season 2.
Oh, no.
Really?
I watched two episodes
Will Poulter's
last
in The Bear?
Night. Yeah.
For a couple episodes... Or for, I think, one episode in season 2.
Do they play brothers?
No.
When's Bo Burnham going to be in that show? Dude, it's the creator...
Bingo.
The creator.
Yeah, here we go. It only took us 55 minutes.
The creator of the show directed Bo Burnham's specials, so it would make sense for him to be in that show at some point. Okay, Mr. Family Guy. Don't give me shit.
I am. No, The Bear's awesome, too.
I need to watch that.
I've been watching The Bear. That's also in my been watching.
Very good.
I watched this movie on Netflix, and it was god-awful. And it was with Adam Driver. It was called 65.
I saw that in theaters. I paid money for it.
I absolutely hated it. And I think three or four times I was like, can we just watch something else?
Tell me how in a universe that big, they're still speaking English and Spanish.
The more the more I watched that movie, I thought it was going to get better.
Yeah.
And it just made me more mad.
And they get out. The end pissed me off when they barely make it out. When the freaking meteor that kills the dinosaurs is on its way down.
The dinosaurs were cool. That's all I have to say about the movie. The dinosaurs right. were cool. He's from the future, goes back in time, and then he crash lands, and he has to save this girl who was on his ship. She doesn't speak any English. He does. So there's the language barrier between
them. That makes sense. 65 million years ago on a different freaking planet. I get so
It was a stupid movie. Yeah. I will say this about the movie. I think the plot of it, if that was a video game, it would be awesome. I would play that video game, but watching it as a movie is very frustrating, and it just didn't come out the way I think the dude wanted it to. It's not good.
To me, it seemed...
0 out of 5.
It seemed like a COVID movie.
And I can't believe empty. Adam Driver agreed to do that. That's like the only reason I watched it, and I was like, man, this...
Whew. You think that was a contract thing? Do you think he was maybe by the...
Because I guarantee you, if anyone else was in it, a smaller name, I bet no one would have probably gone to see it.
Well, I just don't understand.
I can't believe that Winston
did not see it.
I thought it was a Netflix movie. That's why I was like, "This sucks."
It's
I can't believe
Netflix.
That was in theaters.
Yeah, I saw it. I paid for it. I was the only one in the theater. I think word had already gotten out that it was pretty mid. It's just like okay, there's two for the
it
most.
It makes me angry talking about it for some reason. I haven't had a movie that made me angry in a while. That was it was so bad.
Well, it was only 1 hour and 45 minutes or whatever, but it felt like 3 hours.
It felt so long. Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3, because we watched that right afterwards. That felt shorter than 65.
Because the thing about 65 is okay, it's a movie. Yeah, there's it's in the past. You know, it's not aliens, but they're from a different planet. They crash land or whatever. 65 million years ago, I thought the premise when I walked in was going to be these are humans from an advanced human civilization on Earth, deep space. They like go too far, whatever, they get sucked back in, and then they crash land on a planet that just seems foreign. They find out it's actually Earth that they are from. That's not what the movie's about. It's so frustrating because it's right there.
The premise changes like 3 times.
Yes. Oh my God. In the whole movie. Why have 2 characters if they can't talk to each other? She's a liability. Kill her.
She's a child.
Is she adding anything?
Blake just advocated for killing a child.
No. Blake, have you watched anything else?
I am finishing, or I'm catching up on The Righteous Gemstones.
Ooh, I haven't done that yet.
I
was going to wait for the season to end so I can just binge it all.
Okay, so the only reason I didn't do that is because my roommate has been watching it, so like I'm trying to catch up so I can watch the new episodes. Yeah, so I can watch the new episodes with him. It is one of the most refreshingly funny comedy TV shows I've watched in so long because it plays it rides that line of like it's not afraid to be offensive in a way where it's like the people like it's not being offensive just for the laughs. It's because it's kind of like South Park. Cartman on South Park says the worst things ever and it's funny, but it's funny because you're supposed to be making fun of him.
Right.
Same thing on this show. Yeah. All the bad things that you normally feel bad about laughing, you don't because you're making fun of the people that are doing it.
And Danny McBride, he could read in the phone book and it's funny. Like that guy's delivery
His delivery and it's so he's such an asshole in the funniest way.
It's like people say, oh, he plays the same guy. Well, it's like
it works.
He's so good.
I was gonna say I understand why some people can get turned off by him for playing the same guy. But for me, I think it works. I enjoy him, but I can see why it does turn some people off.
But I think Will Ferrell, who we'll talk about.
I think
about
he
a
is
bit,
more deep than just loud, funny guy. Because
yes,
you've seen
I think
he can
Will
do
Ferrell
everything.
Plays the same guy, and it's a pretty surface level character. I think Danny McBride's characters have a little bit of insecurity in them, or a lot of insecurity.
Then you should watch Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, I love Righteous Gemstones. I haven't watched this new.
Oh, you haven't watched the new season.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I love Righteous Gemstones.
So that same reason. He's very insecure, but he projects.
Well, it's like he's spouting down.
Yeah. See, and the thing is, I haven't actually watched that. My brother's been trying to get me to watch that.
It's good.
Yeah. I want to see that. I kind of fell back in love with, like, Danny McBride's kind of that world. Like, I was introduced to him back in I mean, I guess it was Pineapple Express. And then 30 seconds or 30 minutes or less.
30 seconds to Mars?
Yeah. 30 minutes or less. The pizza movie? Yeah. With Jesse Eisenberg. Aziz Ansari.
Yeah. That movie really solidified my love for like that kind of comedy. And also like Aziz Ansari. Hilarious.
I forgot to mention a movie I did watch that I've. Funny.
Let's hear it.
Neighbors, the first one.
With it's Seth Rogen. Funny, yeah.
It holds up pretty well because I remember seeing it when it first came out and I hadn't seen it since because I saw it and that was like 2014.
Yeah.
So I was a senior in high school when that came out and I saw it in theaters. And so I saw it on Max the other day and I watched it and I was like, still pretty damn funny, not going to lie.
That scene where they're like making their own dildos. And the guy he goes, wait, y'all shaved? And he rips it off.
I just like the scene where they're having the De Niro party. And like Zac Efron's dressed up as the taxi driver one, and then Dave Franco is the Fokker one. He's just like, yep. He's like, did you draw that mole? And he's like, yes, I did, Fokker. Yes, I did. And it's a really, really funny movie.
I'm gonna have to rewatch that.
The second one wasn't too bad, if I remember, but it's nothing comes close to that first one.
No.
That was pretty much lightning in a bottle with that first one.
Yeah, and the second one, I can't remember her name.
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, I don't like her. I don't like her at all. So that turned me off a little bit.
The second one, funny.
Wasn't Selena Gomez also in the second one?
I don't
one? Or there's
remember.
Somebody
oh,
else.
Like as the legacy or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
All I know is the second one, funny. But it tried too hard, and the first one was just, it came off very natural. And
well, because like, they said everything they wanted to say.
They did, and the chemistry was really good. The second one felt a little bit more forced.
Well, and like this, maybe this is like a...
But I'll still watch part two.
Yeah, and I don't know. The first one was like a, almost like 21 Jump, not quite 21 Jump Street, where it was like a cultural thing, where like, everybody saw 21 Jump Street, and everybody loves 21 Jump Street. I don't know if it's it. I don't think it's that level into that like, oh, what's the word? Not immortality, but that like that
classic
Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it's not a Mount Rushmore like 21 Jump Street is, but it's up there. And I don't think I've ever talked to anybody that didn't like Neighbors.
Yeah,
especially if you're either in a frat. Or
you just hate, or you
hated the frats,
or you hate frats.
Yeah,
it goes both ways. On
yeah,
that one.
And I'm technically both. So like, because I think a lot of the frat stuff, obviously I loved it, but like you can see how like a lot of that stuff you can see how they're the bad guys.
There is one thing you remember, Seth
of Returning.
Shut up. You remember Seth Rogen's best friend in that movie.
The white
guy who kind of like likes to rap and he has a gap tooth like me. He says the F word a couple times and I'm not saying fuck. Like the one Kevin Smith likes to use in old movies.
Yeah.
And he says the N word a couple times when he's rapping like on the phone and you're like, dude, I don't think you can do that at all now. Like the way they did it, you're like.
Well, that movie didn't come out that long ago.
No, but like 10 years ago. When you're watching it, you do the throat wince where you're like, ugh. Yeah, like where your throat sticks out. You're like, I don't know about that, dude.
Yeah, that's
not what you were saying before the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking about how much I love casual racism in movies.
That one scene really stuck out.
Yeah, that
you.
Was the one. I was just like, man, this is the most casually racist funny thing I've ever seen.
Basically.
Actually, the most casually racist funny thing is Blazing Saddles.
I need to watch that. I've not watched it.
You've never seen that?
I saw that last month.
Boy, if you didn't really grow up or anything with it, you'll watch it like, whoa.
Yeah. There's a lot. And it's like, is it a product? Yeah, it's a product of its time, but it's also like, I don't know. I really like Blazing Saddles, but I had
He's got a lot of comments on it for when you turn the mics off.
Yeah.
I bet. Yeah. He's like, man, they were riding most of this part of the movie.
There were clear good guys and bad guys in that movie.
You know, I only like the first half of American History.
Boy,
yeah,
there really are clear good guys and bad guys in that movie.
We all know.
The first 5 minutes where they're trying to get the thing out of quicksand, it's like, it sets the tone within the first, actually, 60 seconds of the movie. Like, you get a pretty hard N-word in it, and you're just like,
Yeah, but the reason it stands is because it's not glorifying that. You're clearly supposed to hate those guys.
And everyone is racist in the movie.
Yeah.
It's not one character, everybody is in the movie.
It goes all the way up to the governor.
it's like PEMDAS. It cancels out. No one can be bad if they're all racist, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But The only reason I didn't find Blazing Saddles as funny as I thought I was going to find it is because not too long before that, I saw Airplane for the first time.
That's the funniest
and that
movie
might,
of all
yeah,
time,
that might
dude.
Be the funniest. So it's like you can't like – because I was in that mindset of like the 70s kind of movies. So like that – like you, I don't think you could beat that. I wish I didn't see that.
It's Airplane is because of the physical comedy and then just like things you don't really think about like when you're talking and
yeah.
how they turn language against you and you're like, oh, duh.
Well, it's the most literal thing in the world.
Yeah, that – a hospital? What's that? It's a big building with windows.
Yeah. Is that like
Trey? What have you been watching?
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh,
yeah. Nice transition.
Wait, wait.
We're about an hour, what? 6 minutes.
Wait, wait. Sorry. Before you get into Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, can we talk about the most controversial movie right now? Why is AMC trying to silence people on The Sound of Freedom, bro?
They're cutting the AC out.
They're leaving the lights on,
yeah.
bro.
It's a conspiracy.
Why are they trying to stop this movie from being...
They almost made me want to buy 20 more tickets to it.
You tell me, Jay. What's your opinion?
I'm sorry. This is things on Twitter I read. It's like, you know how many times I've been to a movie and they forgot to turn the lights off? I was like, I don't think you're special, dude.
Well, my favorite one is people were like, it's such a conspiracy. They're trying to keep people to not see that. This theater online was completely sold out. When we get here, we're the only ones here. I'm like, yeah, you fucking idiot. It's because it's fucking fake. People are – it's real money that are getting spent on this movie. But because rich conservative Christians are spending thousands of dollars to pay it forward for poor people that want to see the movie, it's just to inflate the fucking ticket sales.
Or people, trolls – have bought the whole theater just so no one else can get tickets. It's literally just people being like trolls and idiots on stuff online. It's not a conspiracy. If they didn't want you to see it, they would just not put it in the fucking theater.
Yeah,
it's not that hard.
It just goes to show you just how fucking stupid QAnon people are.
I think just the human race. Don't we all have a touch of schizophrenia?
Well, yeah, I've smoked enough.
You cannot see my other notes because they're all about Jay and Silent Bob, and I wrote the R word on here, and I don't know if I should have wrote that or not.
You probably shouldn't have.
Can you say that word? I didn't say the F word. I wrote F word counter, but then I did write...
So that just goes to show.
What's that say?
Count?
Before that, the word before. I think I capitalized
it. What's distance.
So,
distance.
Anyway... You should go see The Sound of Freedom, bro.
All right, let's go see it.
I actually kind of want to see it just to see what it's... I don't want to make a political statement by buying a ticket.
That's why you wait for it to hit Tubi.
Yeah. I'm coming over, or you're coming over. We're watching it here. We're going to watch The Sound of Freedom.
I'm not watching... I just watch movies just because I hear they're either controversial or like what the controversy or stuff that happens around it. I don't want it to make a statement. I just go, oh, people are talking about it? Of course,
yeah, I'm gonna
watch it.
Yeah, because I want to talk. But nobody's talking about.
It's like when you see news on Twitter and like things are going viral or trending, and someone's saying, "Oh, this and this," and you're like, "Okay, well, hold on, now I gotta watch it now."
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So I think we should do a Sound of Freedom watch party.
All right,
and like,
popcorn, liquor.
Wait. Trey, are you advocating for sex trafficking? Because you haven't said
a
word about this movie.
I'm not advocating.
Yeah. You're sitting here going, oh, why don't you go off, but you won't talk about this movie. Why do you, as an individual, think you're better than sex trafficking?
I don't know how to answer that.
That's not
exactly.
A no.
Exactly.
So you're complaining.
And you wouldn't know how to answer it if you haven't seen the movie.
I've not seen the movie.
Well, you need to
My
see
mom
it.
My mom has seen it.
Well, it's crazy because people have been going in thinking sex trafficking was good, and they see this movie, and now they think it's bad.
Wait, when your mom saw it, did they turn the AC on, or were the lights off?
I think it was a fine experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Must have been in a white neighborhood.
If we watch it in my apartment, guys, I'll turn the AC down to, like, 68. I'll make popcorn. I'll turn the lights off.
69.
Nice.
So, Sound of Freedom.
So, we're an hour, 10 minutes into this podcast. Okay.
You act like... Is that a flex?
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. We're doing our Kevin Smith.
View Askewniverse.
View Askewniverse.
Viewing.
This is the Avengers of the Jay and Silent, or the View Askewniverse, I guess.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah,
this really is the Avengers of the
Everybody's
first Avengers.
Coming together. Yeah, the first one after all the hype.
So
after all the four or five movies ahead of it. Three. Four.
I guess he had the TV show and he had that Chasing Dogma book. But those are like the TV shows.
Doesn't count, bro. If I can't watch it and there's not pictures, I can, you know.
Did you watch the Clerks TV show? There's only six episodes.
Yeah, I watched it.
Where do you find it? I mean, I didn't look.
It
too
used
hard.
To be on YouTube back in the day.
I might have to watch
find
that.
It somewhere.
I'd like to just know.
He's like, hold on,
keep up with it all.
I can find it.
Probably can.
I'm just quoting Trey when play it again. You just played a bad radio open.
Anyway, I have some counters on here. I know Jay did too.
Did you take notes?
I did take notes.
Okay.
I have a gay joke counter.
I didn't write down gay joke.
I have a R word counter.
I have that too, but I wrote out the real word. And I don't know if I should have.
Fourth wall slash reference, like meta reference counter. I have a Star Wars counter, and I have a View Askew counter where they make View Askew references.
References. You like took more than I have. I have an R.
No,
almost said it. Almost said it. I almost said the middle school and the R.
Jeff, Kaplan.
I have a R. I have an R word counter and I have an F word counter, and I don't think they said the F word.
They didn't.
I think he's gotten a little more progressive as time has gone by.
I don't know, because there's about 20 gay jokes in there, and some of those are huge scenes.
No, wait. Isn't it a bigger man of him to not use the F word and take the low hanging fruit, and he had to make tasteful gay jokes?
I don't know if they
had to get really big.
He actually
got
gay
jokes tasteful.
He actually
Trey?
Got a lot of flack from GLAAD from this movie. He had to pay like a lot.
Did
of
he
money.
Really?
Gays and lesbians of
Association
Alaska.
Alliance.
Oh,
he had to pay a lot of money.
Those Alaskans hated this movie.
I think he. So,
they can fine you.
In August 2001, 3 weeks prior,
to pay it.
3 weeks prior to release, the film came under fire from the
like
Gay and Lesbian Alliance.
It's like that's
against
like getting
defamation.
A warning from the police.
Yeah,
it's okay.
For its overwhelmingly homophobic tone, which included a bunch of
Snoogans.
So, GLAAD Media director Scott Simeon asked Smith to make a $10,000 donation to the Matthew Shepard Foundation, as well as to include a reference to GLAAD's cause in the ending of the
They
credits.
Weren't even making fun of gays. Come on, don't you remember George Carlin saying gay, straight, it's all the same now?
Yeah, it's the new millennium.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Yeah,
it's all the same now. So
I guess, yeah.
If the gays were offended, shouldn't the straights be offended?
I guess they should. I guess everyone
That's
should be
what
offended.
We should. That's what this podcast is about.
Distance.
So, R word counter, 3.
I had one, but I stopped afterwards, like halfway through the movie, just because I was kind of laughing.
I stopped after
the movie. The movie had me in giggles, not going to lie.
Fourth wall breaking slash like reference, meta reference, I got 7.
Okay.
I have 5 Star Wars references. Not as much as I thought. So the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie are like where the references are. The middle of the movie is like a big road trip movie.
Yeah.
So like, and also View Askew about 10, but there's a lot. So like, this is pretty much the story of this is Jay and Silent Bob, the two stoner characters from all the other View Askew movies. They realize that a movie is being made about them and their likeness. The early beginnings of like the superhero boom. I mean, very early. This is 2001. This is before Spider-Man
came out.
Yeah,
about to say.
This is like
a year before. Oh, yeah. X-Men came out in 2000.
Yeah, it's like this is like X-Men had just come out.
Yeah.
Awesome movie. I still like the first X-Men.
It's very interesting. Like, it's interesting to watch this as a time capsule of like, oh, this is when superhero movies were becoming big. And now they are like ingrained in our culture at every turn.
So this would have been right before Hulk, too. Because remember when Ang Lee's Hulk was like
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, very early on.
Well, it's like it's even more of a time capsule beyond just the superhero part. Like the movie itself is such a snapshot of 2001 about media that's happening.
The liberal media, as Will Ferrell says.
True. Yeah, and even that.
I mean, Will Ferrell was like, this was before Anchorman.
Yeah, this Anchorman was 2003.
Okay,
so
yeah.
So he was still really big at the time because he was coming off SNL. Because SNL, I think he was done in 99 there,
which
2000.
That's always just gives me, like, it just warps me out of reality because I'm always, for some reason, assume Will Ferrell was on SNL in the early 2000s, but it makes total sense.
Late
90s, I think. The late 90s, yeah. Like mid to late 90s, early 90s even. Like, he was on when Adam Sandler was on, I think, like that beginning.
Him like, and David Spade.
Yeah.
And what's the guy who's in a lot of movies with him?
Dana Carvey.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, Dana Carvey was there. There's obviously Chris Rock was on it. But the other guy.
Chris Kattan?
Is that him?
He was the one that was Night at the Roxbury with Will Ferrell.
No, not him.
Tim Meadows?
I don't. I'll think about it, or I'll maybe remember.
But yeah, I mean, this is a lot of cameos. This is a big, big.
This is probably one of the biggest cameos he's had to have. Like before, like I guess the reboot in like 2013. Yeah. At that point, but dude, there's so many in this one.
Yeah. So it's Jay and Silent Bob. They discover that a movie is being made about them. They're going to go on a road trip to stop this movie from being made, and on the way. They meet a group of spies, or what do you call them?
Beautiful, beautiful women.
Yeah, diamond stealers.
They said they were going to go release monkeys and animals for testing because they didn't want them to harm the animals. But it was a front.
For their jewels.
They used trickery on us.
Yeah.
So I
went full stupid right there. I could not talk for a moment.
That's
sorry.
How I feel. It's ripping up.
Yeah.
So I wonder why. It's so funny that I saw this movie. This was the first Kevin Smith movie I ever saw. And I was at a Walmart. I was at a Walmart and
the video game section with the screen.
That's right. The most American statement
and
I heard.
I was looking at the DVDs and I'm like, this movie looks funny. Don't know why. But I'm like, this looks funny. And so I picked it up. And I watched it.
Was this your introduction to the Viewask universe?
Yes, that's what I just said. Yeah, this was my introduction.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah, of course it was.
Well, if you were listening, he just said it.
Well, I thought he said he watched this one, so I forgot. I thought first Jane Silent Bob.
This is
my introduction to the Viewask universe. And I remember it being the funniest thing I've ever seen. Then I watched all those other movies, and this was even funnier. But I don't understand how a lot of the jokes are... because of the other movies, like their references to the other movies.
I wrote down they are weed, dick, and fart jokes.
Right, and I was a freshman
in high
school.
I think that's
what
Ben Affleck said.
Yeah, there was a lot of like references to Kevin. Like this is almost like you need to be a fan of Kevin Smith and his whole backstory and background. Like
in his,
you need to know like the behind the scenes Kevin Smith stuff.
Or he references Mallrats in the very beginning of the movie, and like all the characters from that. Yeah.
I mean, like the whole bit with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon where they say, you know, sometimes you got to do the safe pitcher, sometimes you got to do the pitcher for the art, and sometimes you got to do one because your friend says you owe them, and they, you know, do the fourth wall look. That was a reference to when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon won Best Writing for Good Will Hunting, they forgot to thank Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. And I guess, like, there was a whole backlash about that, and so... I think that was a reference to that.
Scott Mosier, didn't he also produce Clerks?
Yeah, he's the producer.
Affleck was the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
Yeah, and they say a lot of that. They say a lot of...
Yeah, that went over my head. Lines. I have no idea what it was.
I think it's a sci-fi, old sci-fi movie.
It's one of his movies that got, like...
Panned.
Yeah. It was panned. And they're like, you were the bomb in Phantoms, yo.
I like that I have finally seen Talented Mr. Ripley, so I did enjoy the Talented Mr. Ripley joke in there a lot more than I did originally watching.
So
when he says, you know, we go back to playing gay serial killers who play golf, that's Talented Mr. Ripley. It's a fantastic movie. It's great.
I'll put that on my list.
Yeah, it's really good.
I always need to find new things to watch.
It's very good. It's very enjoyable. But so that was enjoyable. We got that reference now. It was the middle of the movie just felt so all over the place.
It felt long too.
It did.
I was shocked when I found out I was only 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
I think that movie could be done in 45 minutes to an hour, but they definitely dragged it out to have cameos and little things like
what
that.
What the hell was the Scooby-Doo thing?
That was
right.
That was so random.
That tripped me out so freaking bad.
It's like, what the hell was that?
Can I say the Ben Affleck explaining the internet is still very relevant today.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, there's some really good stuff in this one. Like, yes, what the fuck is the internet? Internet is a communications tool for people to bitch about movies and share pornography.
Yeah, he was like,
I'm like, that's all I use it for.
I tell you, though, it's a very innocent time because there is a lot more now that's a lot worse. Because
I like the quote was, he's like, the internet has given America a voice and we use it to bitch about movies. And I was like,
That's true. Doesn't that just remind you, though, especially that screen grab of that website or whatever, like how
movie
just
poop shoot
or just like how not like innocent, but just how small the internet used to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How it was just like you had like 10 websites that you used. Yeah, or maybe you had one website.
The message
that you used.
Boards and stuff like that.
It's, forums.
I mean, I even tweeted about it like last night or 2 nights ago. Like the internet, like, it's not fun anymore. Like it's not, it doesn't make
it's
me
not
happy.
Niche.
It doesn't make me happy anymore.
Right.
It's an extension of ourselves, which is
fine.
I agree,
yeah.
But it's like, I don't go on it to get, you know, fulfilled in a sappy way, make me feel good, make me feel happy, like laughing. It just, ugh.
Yeah.
I liked how they're too stupid to tell the difference between people making fun of them actually and their comic book characters. So he would just get all worked up. They went into movies to use the internet there, like, and they're in the fast food place. He's like, listen up, all you motherfuckers, as they're typing
yeah,
it
like
out.
That.
He's such
a good line.
He's like, we're gonna make them eat their shit, then shit out their shit, and eat their shit that we made them eat.
Yeah, made of their shit.
Yeah, made of their shit.
Yeah, that
I like the where they're doing the women are doing the Mission Impossible thing with the lasers, and then the one girl farts and goes, shit, the little stoner was right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a good callback.
Well, or Sean William Scott's little cameo.
Yeah,
where he was like, because,
creep.
Well, that was when he was huge and
was
being
Stifler.
Yeah, that was Stifler, bro. So him.
Well, I mean,
being,
you had a lot of American Pie.
And that was him being
three, at least.
The exact opposite of what his character is.
Yeah.
A big, clean, wholesome Christian guy.
Right.
Girls don't fart, silly. He's like, only skeevy stoners fart.
Yeah, you had him, you had Jason Biggs, James Vanderbeek.
Hey, this dude said he'd fuck a sheep.
To be fair, though, I was on... He had to go. You can't be talking about fucking a sheep. I don't care if you think if you are a sheep. If that thought comes in your mind, you're out of the
game. I used to use that in the locker room in seventh grade. I'd ask people if they've ever fucked a sheep.
Because of that movie?
Yeah. I saw that movie when I was like 13.
I feel like I missed out on a growing up part because I have never seen any of them until 2 months ago.
So I think I've just come to the conclusion that I just don't like Jay. Not you. But
what
Jay,
about Blake?
I like you all right.
It's so much
him,
for an hour and a half.
It's just way too much. And like the whole romance thing, I'm like, dude, what girl would like this guy at all?
Well, that's why he didn't take his dick out. The angel told him
it's
not
like
to.
The one redeeming quality is he didn't take his dick out.
He was progressive in that way. Yeah. I like how he's like, should I take my dick out? I don't know. Let me look at Silent Bob. And Silent Bob just immediately like just looks at him and goes, no, dude.
Yeah. So I just
yeah, they're,
I find
like,
it
the angel's like, I go, hold on, I gotta go beat the shit out of some guys.
Like, it's not like Bill and Ted were wholesome. Like, you could see that with Bill and Ted. I don't think you can just, I don't know. I'm just not a big fan of Jay.
Trey's more
movies.
Of a Silent Bob type.
Yeah, well, ever or just whenever they're the center of the movie. But what
I think the center of the movie. I think Dogma was starting to grate on me, but they toned it down a bit here.
I liked
but
when Jay was like shitting on Silent Bob when he was just like, he's like, oh, you got words for all the that Amy story and everything
that,
but you can't tell us what the fuck to do now. I was like, all right, that's a pretty funny callback. He's like, how many times are you going to tell that fucking Amy story?
After, how come you never told me about her? Yeah. And I was like, whoa, who am I supposed to believe here?
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, you've never said that story to the next movie. Him like, oh, that's all you ever say is that story.
How many times are you going to say it, brother? Oh, my God. Cool. Yeah. I think Jay's funny. I personally, but I haven't been exposed to him for a long time. I'm sure it gets old.
They're better side characters, you know, when they're not the main focus, because obviously it's a lot for him at some point. But, you know, if this is your first experience, so yeah, it's funny, of course, yeah. And this is the first time they're the main characters, and they're not really the main characters anymore, but they still, in the other movies, they do show up a lot.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hold back a burp.
Let it go, bro. Thank
whoa.
You. Thank you.
Whoa. Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate this one. It's a lot of nostalgia. It's weird just watching this because I hadn't seen this in forever. And this is like the first one. I felt like the middle was just very padded with stuff.
Blake and I mentioned, honestly, Will Ferrell's character was not needed in the movie at all.
Not at all. It felt goofy.
It was very forced, but it's the time when you're like, if he showed up, everyone would be like, oh my God, it's Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
Like they would have freaked out. And it was funny when they're leaving the little restaurant in Utah and he's just like, oh, we're a gay couple and this is our adopted son. He's like, crap. He's like, we got to let him go, man. He's like, we can't let the liberal media get a hold of this. Some uppity queers. Like, oh my God. Like, that's what he says.
But the thing is, how is that 2001 and not 2023?
Yes, because it sounds like
Lots of something Carlson would say.
Yes, it sounds like something people west of Parker County say or talk about that I've heard very frequently.
Yeah. We love going to West Parker County, right?
Distant.
No.
Distance. But no, I'm just saying, like, what he said there, I was like, as Blake and I said, we're like, that didn't sound 2001. That's like how nothing, I guess, has really changed over 20, 30 something years, that it's the exact same how we talk today.
Well, there's a lot of
idiots talk or perceive things, you know?
Yeah. It's just funny.
Because it is making a farce of all of that in a way, you know?
I mean, it's just like the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like, even going back to their views on the internet, like, obviously the internet's bigger now than in 2001, but it's like, at the base, especially if you're into movies, you're going to use the internet for movies. I don't know. It got that.
I think I liked Dogma. I don't know. I think I liked Clerks more than this.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Maybe Dogma. You know what? I think I like this more than Dogma.
That's not how I feel about, you know, those people with their adopted son.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? I don't feel that they were uppity.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, they actually were very not uppity.
That is what Will Ferrell said, okay? I just want it to be known. Because you're going to find a way to turn this against me somehow,
what
Trey.
What am I going
to
do with it?
I'm looking at the state. Yeah.
What am I going to do with it? There's nothing I can do.
And that other cop that he was saying all that stuff to, that was scoffing like every time, he's like, that is the monkey.
And that's
Judd Nelson.
Yeah, Judd Nelson.
Because I was like, this dude looks super familiar. And then it was when his name popped up. I was like, oh, yeah.
From Breakfast Club.
Yep. It was the dude. Don't
the cool
you?
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow. It was.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
I didn't hate this one as much as I thought. I think I probably put it over Dogma because Dogma got grading. I think I like Clerks more than this. I don't know about Chasing Amy, maybe more.
You know what? Something we haven't talked about,
what?
But I feel like should be said. Of course, you know, especially if you find the character Jay grating, like, you know, he talks a lot. But the dialogue was so much smoother in this movie.
Yeah, it was.
I literally am just now remembering how clunky the dialogue has been in every movie up until this point.
But this one made fun of the dialogue of past movies, which was really funny. So this one was very hyper aware of the universe. I wrote down that this is, like, I think when it really started to make fun of itself, of the Viewisk universe, like writing or scenes or past stuff from it before. This one was really more in tune with what it was and not taking itself so seriously like Chasing Amy did.
Yeah, so I think where I land on this is, like, this is the first movie in the Viewisk universe that I've seen so far that, like, felt like a real movie and not a student project movie. You know, it doesn't feel like a student film or independent film.
Those fucks at Miramax.
Yeah, but it's funny because, like, this movie is obviously crazy and big and all that kind of stuff. Like, it feel like maybe I should be thinking of it differently, but it's like I could see this movie being made by anybody else. The other movies that we've seen before were very distinctively Kevin Smith.
This movie, I feel like someone could even try to make it like today, and I would imagine it being this almost the same type of humor, and it would still be probably pretty popular.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I will say this movie kind of felt like each act was an entirely different movie.
Yeah.
The beginning was entirely different from the middle, and the end was just the most, like, so much fucking shit happened.
It was
in the last 30 minutes. I was getting whiplash.
Mark Hamill as Cockknocker.
It was such a Kevin Smith wants to fight lightsabers with Mark Hamill.
Fantasy.
It
was a bong, bro. It was a bong lightsaber. No, because
and it went like that, like a, you know, or like a boner. I thought it was like a curved dick. It was. I guess I didn't look too hard. That's very funny. Interesting. Very funny.
Kevin,
there's a lot. I thought it was fine. I didn't hate it.
He did like his little Joker laugh when Mark Hamill when he came out.
Mark Hamill's great.
I like seeing him as a bad guy. Mark Hamill.
I know, and like that was like in a time where I had no clue what he looked like. Like now, like current day. So I had no clue that was him. And then says it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was what, like 2004?
I saw 2004.
At that point, that's what, 20 years after the last Star Wars?
Yeah.
The real last Star Wars.
Yeah. I know he did like voice stuff, but you don't read it. Now you see him more in public, but not back then.
Yeah, I never saw him.
Yeah.
Up until...
Nowadays you do, but not, yeah.
And I see a little too much of him. You
know? Also, no, our Mallrats review, we asked, was Holden actually gay or not? And that question,
wasn't Mallrats. That was Chasing Amy.
We got that answered for us.
Yeah, there you go.
So, now we know.
Now you know.
Yeah, Chasing Amy, because it was the guy who did all the Black Power comics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one who was put in character. That's what he does. My God. I can't say nothing on this plane anymore.
You can't. It's all being sent to Cumulus.
What does this word say? No, you can't hold it.
Burn her. What'd she do to you?
But what does this say?
R count.
Thank you.
Well, yeah. Anything else? Any other notes you got?
No, mine was a lot of it was like the Ben Affleck internet scene where it said they're satirizing a lot of the writing of it, and then a lot of breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, a lot of that. Well, I'm tired.
I'm sleepy boy.
We're gonna do.
We'll go watch The Sound of Freedom now.
Yeah, I got
we'll do
three
Barbie
tickets.
Barbie and Oppenheimer. Wait, should we?
Sound of Freedom, Barbie, Oppenheimer,
yeah, the Grand Prix,
triple feature,
triple feaks.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Mission Impossible. I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't seen
Trust
any Mission Impossible.
I've never seen any Mission Impossible.
Okay, thank you. Maybe we could do that after the Beast Universe.
Maybe we could.
And what's if we're gonna end? Never mind. I was just gonna say. This is getting a little bit on that tangent. I always wanted to watch Mission Impossible.
All right, goodbye, guys.
Yeah.
No, all sorry, right. Go
my
on.
My roommate's always like, yeah, you got to watch Mission Impossible. I was like, okay, cool. He goes, but the first three are not that good, so you got to get through those.
What do you mean?
Until
the
you
first
see
three
the fourth
really
one.
The first one's really good.
The first one's supposed to be the best, and then the second one's supposed to be.
Well, he said that.
Your roommate's an idiot.
Distance.
Devin.
Distance.
That's the other one.
Oh, Michael.
Distance. Yeah.
You're an idiot.
I will say, next time we hang out, which will probably be pretty soon. I want you and Trey or you and Michael to talk about this. You and insert roommate here.
I haven't seen it in forever, so I don't know. Actually, I haven't seen the first one.
They're all on Pluto TV.
You know what kind of makes you sad? My dad showed my little brother those movies.
Yeah, didn't show you?
And I fucking lived there. I was in the same damn house.
Didn't like you, dude.
No, he didn't.
All right.
This is a therapy session. I got better home after this.
We got Barbie and Oppenheimer next week.
And Nickelback.
Yeah.
And
Nickelback. Yeah, we gotta get Jay's review.
Oh, God. This podcast sucks. It's horrible. Bye, everybody. I love you.
Ice cream's so good.
What the hell was that?